In the Packers blogosphere, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. The mainstream media, who investigate crime, and the bloggers, led by Cheesehead TV, who read about crime, write about it, and don't know what the hell they're talking about. These are their stories.
Greg Bedard, how are you tonight, Greg? Corey's making some weird faces over there. I don't know what's going on. What's that? What's that sound? My God, what's happening? Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Bedard Siren.
It's like way behind on the feet.
Of course it is. How are you tonight,
just like
Greg?
Me, it's just like me, it's behind 10 minutes.
Oh, stop now.
Oh.
How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Practice today. You're there. You're in the thick of it. Obviously, a lot of attention on Brandon Underwood. How do you think he handled it?
Well, to tell you the truth, I didn't see him when he talked to the media. I was looking for other stories behind, you know, not away from the 50-person crowd around him. You should have heard some of the players in other parts of the locker room. Like, look at him. Swarmed Underwood, like all of them. But you know, his comments were fine and they were about what we expected. I just liked that he took ownership for what happened, and at least, you know, the kind of the result that's kind of been imposed on his teammates, especially the six guys who were named and didn't do anything, you know, most of whom were asleep at the time and got woken up and had to be dragged down to the police station. And, you know, I just think it's the beginning of a long road for Brandon Underwood to kind of repair some things.
Most definitely. I mean, we saw you and I talked about this. The comments from Clay Matthews were pretty pointed. But then something that, you know, kind of, I guess, didn't fly under the radar, but Josh Sitton really kind of stood behind Underwood. And I was very, I guess I'm not surprised, but it was a, it was nice to see, but, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Underwood not being one of the most liked individuals in the locker room. Is that something you've heard?
Yeah. I don't know if not well-liked is the term. I think it's just that he's had some issues with professionalism and, you know, maybe some away-from-the-field stuff, you know, not the same as this incident, but, you know, when the guys go out and, you know, the way they conduct themselves in bars and with women and things like that, I just think that he's kind of rubbed some of the guys the wrong way. It's strange that I got kind of a similar response when, you know, last year I did the story on Johnny Jolly and I kind of went around the locker room asking about him, and I got kind of the same response about Brandon Underwood. And not that, I think more people think that Johnny Jolly's bigger trouble than Underwood, but, you know, there was that same kind of vibe. Like, I don't know about that guy. I don't know if that guy's okay, and I don't know if I want to be associate with him. I know that there were at least a couple guys on this trip down to the Dells that were like, really, Underwood's coming? Like,
really?
Yeah. So, and a lot of guys said, like, you know, when I revealed to them that it was Underwood, they're like, yeah, I'm not surprised. This was something that was on its way to happening.
Very interesting. We'll try and turn this around from the police blotter and get onto the football field. Obviously,
what's
a lot of
football.
I know, right? You've been on the Law and Order beat for the last couple weeks. But, you know, they are on the field. They are supposedly practicing. I mean, we all know you can't tell a whole lot when they're in shorts. But, you know, Brian mentioned in the previous segment about the defensive backs. There's a lot of guys getting looks now because of, you know, Woodson's away, Harris is rehabbing, and you've got Williams with his you know, the RFA going on. Who do you think, if anybody, is kind of maybe turning ahead, maybe catching an eye of all the young guys that are there getting chances that they maybe normally wouldn't?
In the secondary?
Yeah.
Well, I to speak of him again, I mean, I got to concur with what McCarthy said last week about him and also today about Brandon Underwood. He's done a good job. He looks like he's filled out, that he did a good job in the weight room this offseason. He's a very long player. He's got great length, and he's also got very good foot quickness. A couple plays I watched him today, he was just mirroring with the wide receiver to a T, where, you know, some of the receivers were getting a little frustrated. And to tell you the truth, not a lot of quarterbacks have thrown at him. I don't know if that's by design or what. As far as the other guys, I'm looking through the list right now. I think obviously Morgan Burnett has been impressive. He's shown that he definitely has a playmaking ability. I think that that's more than anything. Obviously, that with Bigby, there's the, is he going to be on the field? Is he going to last a whole season? But the thing with Bigby is, really the big thing is, he doesn't make a lot of plays.
Right.
You know, when he's healthy, yeah. Does he make tackles? Can he be an enforcer? Yeah. But he doesn't make a lot of plays. He doesn't get his hands on a lot of balls. I think that Morgan Burnett does that. I think he's more in the Nick Collins clone when it comes to that. Josh Bell's done a decent job, a guy who's coming back from last year. Shields has a long ways to go. Sam Shields, the guy from Miami, as right. far as a cornerback. Of course, he played wide receiver most of his time at Miami.
Are they looking, at him in returns, Sam Shields?
Yeah, I mean, he was out there. He was the first guy taking punt returns today. They did a lot of punts. It was him and also, I want to say, it was one of the running backs. It was Quinn Porter from Stillman, who's actually shown me some things. He's been pretty quick, and Jordy Nelson, everybody's favorite in the return game, was back. Those were the three returners. I knew that that you guys would be excited about that.
Oh, anybody with Nelson. Jordy, I'm scared of the 20-yard line Nelson. Never again. I want to touch on something really quick that you posted to your live blog during practice about Campen mentioning to the offensive line about needing to – you said something about, you know, something about inside pressure, about not allowing inside pressure or something. I can't remember the exact quote. But Campen apparently was very specific. Was that in result of something that happened on the field? Was there somebody got beat one-on-one? What happened there?
No, and actually you guys will see it. You won't hear it because it was very windy today. And truth be told, I'm kind of afraid of some of the language used on the practice field. So that's why I don't use the audio in
a
my
wise decision.
Practice footage. But it actually happened during one of the drills, and I'll point it out when I post the video tomorrow. One of the blocking drills, Campen stopped them and reminded them with some colorful language about, you know, how that. And we've kind of, in talking to him, we've heard that before a little bit. I mean, not quite as frank as that, but yeah, I don't think it's any surprise to anybody to hear that the Packers offensive line had trouble with inside moves and techniques in there. I mean, we saw it. How many times did guys just come free and hit Aaron Rodgers on, like, really quick
right
plays?
Up the middle.
Like, isn't somebody supposed to block that guy? Like, and it didn't happen. So obviously that is a big point of emphasis with the offensive line right now.
Does Quarles look as lost as it sounds from reading about him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I don't think it's hard to tell from my tweets and blogs and other things that this guy has a lot to prove, at least in my eyes, you know, on whether he's going to make this team.
Right.
I think that he has a lot to prove as far as professionalism. And I mean, just the other day, I don't think it was today. No, it was last week. There was a play, and I remember Joe Philbin was there watching. It was just a drill, and just look like a lack of effort to me. You know, it just, you know, just going through the motions. And he's been doing that since the first day of rookie camp where we've gotten a chance. You know, kind of comes and goes. You can't be that way in the pros, especially when you're not a top pick. He's got to bring it every day. You're hoping a light goes on, but yeah, he looks pretty lost. He doesn't look as athletic as people build him to be when he when he came out. I do think that he's not in the greatest shape in the world at this point. He's not in bad shape, but I think that with more work in the off season, I think that he can be better and a better athlete. But the Packers, I think, are going to have to make a decision on him at the end of training camp.
I was going to say, do you think they're going to try and stash him, or do you think they'll sever ties with either Lee or Havner?
I think it really depends, Aaron. It's going to depend on Corliss. You know, I think we've heard some of that talk about him coming out that he can be as good as he wants to be. I think that's true. I think he's going to have to prove, and we're going to see it because it's going to be there for everyone to see during training camp. Is he going to bring it consistently? And I'm not just talking about talent. I'm talking about effort. Right. And it's a little bit disturbing to me that rookie. And you're not going to hear this from the Packers. The Packers you ask him about Corliss and his effort and his attitude. They're going to be, oh, yeah, he's fine. He's fine. It's not the way it looks to me. And so we're going to have to see. He's going to have to bring it on a practice-to-practice basis, or else, you know, they got three good tight ends.
Right.
They don't need him. You know, so maybe they do try to stash him. Maybe they just say, you know what, I don't think the light's going to go on for this kid.
Switching over to the defensive side again, I know you can't tell anything about the new guys in shorts and without pads, but on the defensive line, you've got some guys who obviously were drafted and brought in due to the Jolly situation. I mean, maybe not obviously both, like, you know, Wilson and Neal are here because of that, but that definitely played a role. Does either one look quick off the ball? Has either one of them flashed to you? Are they just insanely raw and there's no way to tell? What have you seen from either of those kids?
Well, Aaron, to tell you the truth, I haven't been able to tell anything along those lines as far as practice, but I'll tell you what. Today in the locker room, I wasn't even sure who it was because I'm not really that familiar with a lot of the rookies. But most of the guys I know straight off. There was this guy who walked by me in the locker room and went to his locker, and he was in front of Mike Neal's locker. And he was just in shorts, like boxers. Mm. And I got to tell you, that guy is put together. I mean, he is solid. I mean, I'm looking at his bio on Packers.com. He's 6'3", 294. And there's not much fat on that guy. And he's got very good hand quickness. From what I've seen, he's got good quickness. Overall, I think that he's jolly, maybe, you know, without the basketball type skills.
Right.
But as an athlete in his shorts and teams look at that stuff.
Right.
He's very impressive, and I'm going to watch him a lot closer. He looked like a 8-year vet to me when I saw him today. I was like, I had to ask people, who is that? Is that Mike Neal? Because I don't think it is, but it was. As far as the other kid, C.J. Wilson, I haven't been able to tell much yet. We're going to have to wait for training camp. I can't wait for when we start getting into one-on-ones, because that's when you can really get a gauge on how good these guys are and what kind of future they have.
And now you got to talk about Craig Lumpkin, because you made the mistake of tweeting about him. And you know Jersey Al is here. And you know this is the whole reason he tuned in and put up with Corey and me, to find out what you saw from Craig Lumpkin to make you tweet.
he just busted through a couple plays today. And what struck me is when he went through, and he went for a long ways without anybody touching him. When somebody did slap at him, he didn't lose balance at all. He didn't even break stride, and his arms didn't even pull. Like, he just looked really solid. He really looked put together. He looked pretty quick today. It's really tough to tell about, especially running plays, how good guys are. But he showed good quickness. I've always been impressed with the balance that he's shown. and you know, his way, the way he kind of bounces off tackles. So, you know, hopefully he'll keep that going for Jersey Al's sake, and we could talk about him all the time.
Oh,
that'd be great. But I mean, fantastic. He's got his work cut out for him. You know, it depends how many running backs they're going to keep, and I think Quinn Porter's going to give him a run. Starks actually participated today. Tough to tell, you know, how well he was doing. I will say that, you know, we've heard a lot about Starks playing high, and that's kind of the big worry. Well, he ran through the line high today, and Alec Mullins just completely decked him and put him instantly on his back. So I'm sure that's going to be a good teaching moment for Edgar Bennett when they watch it on video.
Fantastic. All right. We've been talking on the field stuff, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about some of the off-field stuff. We won't go back to the police blotter, but we'll talk about two of the big stars there for the Green Bay Packers. First, Charles Woodson, reportedly, and I know how you feel about this, but reportedly wants a new deal. Are you buying that?
I think he would be open to a new deal, certainly. I think he just wants... he's like a lot of these guys, and they hear it from Driver almost every offseason. They want more of their money guaranteed because they're getting up there in years, yep. And who knows how long they're going to last. And they want the Packers to step up and guarantee some of the money that they have left. So I think that's what it's about. I don't think Charles Woodson, with 3 years left on his deal, he's making $7.5 million this year. I think he's got like about $24 million left on these last 3 years of his deal. I'm not even exactly sure the escalators that have kicked in. I don't think he's getting any long-term deal from the Packers. I think he's just going to – maybe they give him another year and give him a roster bonus and give him some more guaranteed money, but I think that's it. I don't think it's going to be any problem or anything.
That's good to hear. I hope so. I hope that's the case. And then we'll talk a little bit about Aaron Rodgers, your boy, over there talking to Homer. Saying some things about Tony Kornheiser.
Cornholio.
Amongst some other things.
Corey, don't be afraid to chime in.
Yeah, I'm so anxious about the feed going down that like okay. I have all I can do to keep it going. I'm very much enjoying listening to you.
I'm going to get a Corey cam.
I think Greg has a really good mic. This is the best mic I've ever heard. Seriously.
It's my new headset that I got for my videos and Skype.
So. Nice. You really sound good. I mean, it sounds like you're in the room with us.
Says the
Before
nerd.
Before the next question, little tease that I might be doing like one of these like live stream chats or something. I don't know. The Journal Sentinel's trying to get me to do it. So,
just make sure you have a lot of internet bandwidth.
So when are you going to start that? Before you go on vacation?
Maybe I'll do one hit before I go on vacation right after minicamp, and then we'll see what happens during the season. But I'd like to, you know, pop on and answer a few questions, you know, once a week or something
nice.
Like that. We got a lot of things going on with the Sentinel and online stuff and iPhone apps and things
Uh-oh.
Like that. So
iPhone apps.
Look out. Making the leap.
The Journal
the
Sentinel
century.
iPhone app? Are we afraid
they
here?
Have one.
Well, they
out.
Have one. I've got it.
Oh, I haven't. I didn't download it.
Yeah, no.
I need to.
They need a Packer-centric one, though. Because I don't need to worry. I don't need to read about like what's going on in Ashwaubenon or whatever.
Yours truly just downloaded the SDK last week. That's the software development kit for those of you not nerds like me.
So look for one. Real quickly, we have a growing demand here on the live blog for you to clarify your tweet regarding Raji versus Tauscher.
Oh, it was a two-on-two drill, and I called it a defensive line game. It's where, you know, it's designed where the defensive tackle and the end are, it's almost a stunt, but they're kind of getting used to how each moves and crossing and I forget who was the end, but Raji came outside, and I don't know why, but Tauscher got completely turned around by Raji. I mean, it wasn't like he was manhandled by Raji or anything, but it just struck me as I don't think I've ever seen Mark Tauscher in that position before. But I wouldn't say it was because Raji killed him or anything. I don't know if he was just surprised or a mentally not
maybe?
For that rep,
like that?
You know, or what. But
nice,
yeah,
you gotta like that.
All right. Well, see, masses, you see how that works? You ask about it on the live blog, we get them to answer it here. That's how we roll here at Cheesehead TV.
That's true.
But I do want to get Greg's take on the Aaron Rodgers thing. Hopping back off for a minute. He obviously tried to walk it back today, much to my chagrin. what's your take on that? You have the floor.
I think you know what my take is.
Not everybody else does. I'm asking you so that everyone else can be, get your take on it. Everybody knows my take.
You're the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. You had one of the best statistical seasons in the NFL last year. You were viewed as one of the up-and-coming, if not elite, quarterbacks in the league. What do you care what Tony Kornheiser has to say about you? Why do you care what Ron Jaworski said when you were coming out of college? I mean, we all take criticism, and myself included.
Certainly not you, Greg.
Times. and
is
I'll
time
be
four in the house. Oh, okay, sorry.
I wouldn't be honest if I would say that it doesn't bother me. It does bother me at times. But at the end of the day, you just have to let it roll off and move on. I don't understand why Aaron hangs on to these things, and almost it seems like he has a list of what people have said about him, what people have written about him. I mean, I know he knows what I write about him, and that's fine because I've anything that I write or I say, I believe, and I'll own up to it if he wants to call me out on it or whatnot. I just don't think it's useful for him to be talking about this stuff. And quite frankly, these announcers, it amazes me every time announcers make a lot of news because I can't believe people take them this seriously. I mean,
yeah,
I know they're
come on,
podcasters.
Come on now. No, you see, that's what I was waiting for. Come on. This is an idiotic society we live in. You know this.
Yeah, I mean,
especially
yeah.
the people who populate football stadiums.
Sheeple.
I mean, the enlightened few are here at this show tonight, obviously. But, there are a lot of sheeple, as Corey likes to say.
I mean, I will say, I really like that Rodgers did this. As a fan, I think it's awesome.
See, now, does it hurt his perception nationally? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it probably does.
You think?
Well, of course it does. But he doesn't play for those people. He plays for us and the millions of dollars he gets paid. But he's supposed to be playing for us. So it's good that he did that.
I don't know. You're talking to a guy that, when I watch Red Sox games that are broadcast by ESPN, mm-hmm. I don't listen to it or I turn off the volume.
Turn it down.
Because I know that they don't know what's going on with the Red Sox, and they're going to talk in wide sweeping generalities, and they're going to, what they heard from this guy, what they read in the Boston Globe or the Boston Herald, and they're going to use it as they discovered it. It's not good information. And I know you guys are stuck with who you have. And I know it's not possible for everyone to listen to Wayne and Larry at the same time. I know a lot of people say it doesn't sync up right because there's a delay with the TV. And
You do have to do a
little
DJ.
It's way better. I mean,
you have to do a little DJ mixing. But
yeah, there's no doubt it's way better. But
yeah, but I think that people should just take what those guys say with a grain of salt. Like I said on Twitter today, the only thing I listen to in those telecasts is what they might have picked up in a...
And I'm pretty sure Greg got cut off there the last minute myself as well. We promise the internet will be fixed next week.
Maybe.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, Greg got cut off at the end, but, I had something for the end there, and it didn't happen because we stopped recording.
But we stopped. So make it happen now, because there it was. There it is. The Bedard siren, ladies and gentlemen. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Oh, it's the Bedard siren! He was here, and now he's gone. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Next week, definitely joining us, at least for a little bit until we cut him off, it will be Jason Wilde from ESPN Milwaukee, ESPNMadison.com, as well as perhaps joining us will be Mr. Will Blackman. Return specialist extraordinaire. That's not confirmed yet, But that's the rumor.
That would be nice. Although, if anybody watches this show, I don't know if they'll be coming back.
Well, that's why I told I didn't tell his agent to watch the show tonight. I'll send him the I'll send him the cut up version.
Hopefully, I can get Time Warner here.
Absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Thanks so much to Brian moderating the live blog. Thanks to our regulars. Thanks to Holly, who's here every week. She's fantastic. Can't wait. Check her out on her new blog. Holly, you can tweet the name because I can't remember what it is. She'll be back doing her regular weekly opposition research posts over at The Other 31, which, speaking of The Other 31, make sure you check it out.
Yeah, The Other 31 is blowing up.
Blowing up with his posting over there. Everybody who comes on the live blog, listens to the show either live or on iTunes. If you're on iTunes, you get spared the ridiculousness of the live. But if you're live, we appreciate
you. You still get to hear us talking about it.
We do appreciate you sticking through all the nonsense.
Yeah. We try to bring it to you live here at Cheesehead
TV. We bring it live.
We're bringing it.
Not sometimes intermittently, but we bring it live. So thanks a lot for joining us. We'll see you next week. For Corey, I'm Aaron. See you soon.